You are listening to the Sound in Faith podcast coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, USA. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We always want to do that. That's our aim. I almost did something I probably would have regretted.
What's that?
I almost did the intro in Russian.
Oh, can you do that all in Russian?
I don't know.
I bet you can, yeah.
I'd have to think about it. Sometimes, yeah, that's a brain switch right
awesome.
There. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, our Russian brothers and sisters would probably appreciate that at some point.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at some point, we got to do an episode about what it was like ministering in Russia. I think people have questions about that, especially because Russia is... Just to put it lightly, is not very popular right now.
Right.
We would probably do to talk about what it was like ministering in those contexts and everything. I think that would be good.
And I have no problem saying I still love the Russian people.
Yeah. Likewise.
I have a heart to see the gospel break through on many dark strongholds.
There. Yeah. Still very fond memories. I mean, you want to detach yourself from the political entanglements that are out there and just say, you know, our heart should ache for the lost world, you know, regardless of ethnicity, culture, any of those things. Yeah. But we digress. We're so thankful to be here to do this podcast. We're on our 22nd episode.
Wow, and, 22. You know,
22.
It says 21 there.
It says 21 on our notes here, but that's a mistake.
That's wrong.
But, you know, coming up, we're going to have our 25th episode, our silver episode. Should we do something special? I mean,
a banquet?
Should we get a banquet online? With a silver platter? We'll have to do something fun and special for the 25th episode and, you know, mark that time. We get great feedback from the congregation,
we do.
From others too that listen. And so we're so thankful that God is using this as just a way to engage our people.
Yeah.
And we hope it's a blessing. Yeah.
I hope so too. And, you know, not to plug this for self-promotion purposes or anything, but if you're enjoying this, like and share, you know, like I think this is a good thing for our body. And we have a good listenership and we're thankful for that. But let's do what we can to like and share and get the word out there.
We want to be a blessing to others. We're not here to make a name for ourselves or become celebrity pastors by any stretch of the
imagination. I would be a terrible celebrity pastor.
My goodness. Oh. All right. Well, you know, we are all about the church of Jesus Christ here. We love the church. Christ loves his bride.
One thing I've noticed about you, Pastor Thomas, is whenever we start talking church, your face lights up. You know, like it's a joyful topic when we talk about the gathering of the body of Christ.
Yeah,
the body of Christ in general, but especially the gathering when the church comes together to worship.
I was just thinking that this Sunday, there's always logistics. There's always things that go into the planning of church. There's aspects of it that, you know, sometimes like when we have technical issues and things like that, or the guitar goes out of tune, you know, there's things like that you got to think about. But it's just like how awesome this is.
Oh, man.
We get to get together every single week and celebrate.
And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful reality that I think we take for granted. You know, I think we just thinking about a couple years ago, there's a... we weren't able to gather, you know, there's that whole COVID thing going. And I read, I don't remember where I read this, but I read a blog post from somebody who's in a persecuted area. And he said, today we did church in the back of police cars.
Mm.
You know, like we were there, we were handcuffed. We sang songs, a brother shared from the word, and then we went to jail.
That is,
you know, and it's,
wow.
I think we take for granted what a blessing it is to meet. I mean, we take it such for granted that we even wonder, should I go? Should I go to that game today? What would be unthinkable to somebody who is willing to do church in a police car? You know, but it's such a blessing that we're able to gather like this.
And I
love the gathering.
Tied in with our missions comments at the beginning in life in Russia, you know, I never saw church necessarily in a police car, but I saw the extent to which some believers went in order to gather, you know, walking a mile or two in minus 40, minus 50 degrees to get to a little bitty tiny, you know, building to gather together with God's people to be there. and how rich those experiences were. Yeah. Just seeing that, the love, I mean, just the joy in people's lives.
And I will say this. I don't know that, I mean, we hear stories like that and we think, wow, they're so devoted. They're so devoted. And I do think it speaks to the devotion of the people, but I think what it speaks to more is the loveliness of the body of Christ.
There you go.
You know, like,
there you go.
Like the reason people are willing to brave 50 below outside is because the church is the dearest place on earth to us.
Yes. That gets applause right there. I got the applause button. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And that's what we're talking about today. We're asking the question, and this is going to maybe sound odd, so we're going to flesh this question out a little bit, but how does a believer, how does a Christian go to church?
Right.
Okay. And in some way, I'd say, well, we get,
in the car.
We get in the car, drive, we walk, we take the bus, you know. But that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about, you know,
how does a believer's heart go to church?
Right.
You know,
there you go.
Let's say something like that.
Let's get to the heart of the matter. So, you know, so why think about how to go to church? That's the question we're going to ask here first today. Isn't it common sense? You know?
Yeah. So I don't think it is. I think if we just treat it like it's common sense, we'll go to church like we go to a concert, or we'll go to church like we go to a lecture that we're going to have at doing our undergrad degree, you know, you know, there's 1,000 things that we go to and we just go and we participate. Church is different. Church is different. And I think we need some intentionality. And it's not just me that thinks that. I mean, this goes way back. The Puritans were huge on this, you know, but I think we approach this special gathering on the Lord's Day in a special way.
This, in our consumer culture, we're so geared towards we go and we are entertained.
Yes.
Or, so, you know, we get something out of it.
Right.
And of course, yes, when we gather together with God's people, and we're going to flesh this out as we get more into the conversation here. Yeah, we get a lot out of it.
And we go to get
a lot out of it. But that's not the only dynamic that's happening. There's much more to that.
Amen.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about our gatherings here at Faith, how we preach and read the word. We sing the word. We pray the word. We haven't yet done one on We See the Word,
right,
the ordinances. That one's coming. But this is a little bit of a recap question. What is so special about gathering with Christians for worship in the local church on the Lord's Day?
Yeah. So reading from Colossians, is that chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." It is a very special time. So we are in the world, but not of the world.
Mm.
You know, that's the Christian experience right now. We're in the world, not of the world. We're you know, pilgrims, you know, we're citizens of heaven traversing, you know, and to our true citizenship. And so, but here we are, and we're on mission, and we have callings, and we have vocations, and we have all those things. And one day a week, we gather as the body of Christ to encourage and admonish and teach and be grateful together and all of those things that we do. And that's what makes it so special. And it's life-giving, it's strength-giving, it's part of the means of God's persevering grace for us. It's a means of grace in so many different ways. And so, it's special. It's special, and it's different than anything else we do during the week.
Like
any other gathering you do, this one's different.
We call it, you know, we use this phrase a lot, one of the ordinary means of grace, the gathering with God's people. And there's something significant about the gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day as opposed to Christians just getting together any other time.
Right.
We enjoy wonderful Christian fellowship in other contexts.
Yes.
Believers get together. We just had some other believers over to our house Monday night, ate some pizza. Wonderful fellowship.
Yeah.
But the gathering of God's people for corporate worship is a beautiful, amazing thing.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a pastor in Portland, Oregon, and an author, Michael Lawrence, who writes for Nine Marks.
Conversion, I think he wrote.
Yeah, wrote Conversion, a couple other books. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing this comment here, but I say this in my Faith Explored class for our new members. You know, he used this expression that the church, the gathered church, has the opportunity to show the world what heaven will be like.
Yes.
And in doing so, there's this, I mean, it's amazing when you think about it, these people from all different walks of life, perhaps from different ethnicities, different backgrounds, rich, poor, everything in between, young, old, we come together and there's this beautiful, beautiful truth that unites us,
yes,
that Christ is Lord.
Yeah. And I'm not, maybe this analogy will help. I don't know. Maybe it won't. But we invite people over sometimes to have snacks with us. Mm-hmm. Like say on a Saturday morning, you know, have some snacks, we'll fellowship. We invite people over for coffee sometimes. We invite people over for dessert sometimes. All of those are little slices of what it's like to be in my family, you know what I mean? But then sometimes we have a meal together, the whole meal,
like yeah,
start to finish, you know, from beginning to dessert. And that's what the gathering is compared to worship nights or college student gatherings.
Yeah.
You know, all of those are like having coffee, having snacks, having hors d'oeuvres, having dessert, whatever. When we gather together as the body of Christ with old and young and all the demographics and everybody there, all the different, you know, just everybody, the plenary gathering of the church, that's the full meal. The family has gathered around the table and it's time to eat.
That is the Japanese A5 Wagyu steak. And you know, maybe I don't know if people know what I'm talking about there.
I know what Wagyu is.
Yeah, yeah. Can't
afford it.
That's all the fancy sides. Yeah. That's the fresh bread. That's the whole spread.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why, to the question, that's what's special about Christians gathering together in local assemblies on the Lord's Day.
Yeah, and to highlight it from Scripture, that's the pattern that we see in Scripture. Christians got together regularly in one another's homes day by day, but they gathered together on the first day of the week and worshiped together. And so we want to see definitely in-home, you know, sharing, getting together, doing those kind of things, but we want to see the people of God coming together for worship and taking advantage of the ordinary means of grace and being a witness to the watching world.
And, you know, if you're listening to this and that's not how you feel about it, I mean, I hope that you feel a bit of a challenge with this. Like, that, you know, I want to paint this picture for you. This is so good for you, believer, like to love the assembly, love the gathered church. And I want you to see it as special as I think the Word portrays it and as I have definitely experienced.
Very good. You know, so I want to use just a little bit of an analogy here. You know, one of the reasons why we're talking about this today is that we want to encourage people to preparation and their thinking about that corporate gathering on the Lord's Day, not just an afterthought, oh, we're going to go do this and then we'll be done.
Right.
But, you know, how can we prepare ourselves for this, for the gathering of God's people? And so, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. This is the next question on our outline here, but what are some right and wrong ways to view the gathering? We mentioned a little bit of that. Anything else we want to go with that? Anything else we want to comment on that?
Just a general wrong way to view it. And you've mentioned it, and I think it's come out in some of the comments I've made too. You cannot just view it like you would view going to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, that's not an appropriate analogy. You know, like you go to a movie, you watch, you're entertained, you leave, you feel certain things, whatever, you had a good time or not so good or mediocre or whatever. Church is nothing like that. Church is a participatory thing, you know, we're all in, you know. So the wrong way is to go consumeristically. I'm going to go and like a restaurant or whatever, and I'm going to take in and then I'm going to leave, you know, and I'm going to bolt in, I'm going to bolt out. I hope I don't talk to anyone. I hope I don't, you know, I just want to go sit down and have my spirits lifted and leave. That's the wrong way to approach church. And that'll come out even more as we talk about sermon and singing.
I'm going to give an imperfect sports analogy. So
I'm lost already. just got lost. The word sports, you lost.
You know, we all, it, right there, but you go to a game as a spectator, you're there to watch. Mm-hmm. If you go to the game as a player, you're invested in the game.
That's actually a really good analogy.
You're a member of the team.
I should watch sports.
There you go. That's we're not going as spectators.
No.
We're going as, and you know, part of the team or part of the family. We're in the family.
We're in the family.
We're there to participate in all of it, not just be spectators of what's happening around us.
Yeah, this is the family gathering.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And like you said, it's a slice of heaven. And so the wrong way is to not come like that. You know, so, yeah. You know, you come like that, you're doing well.
Yeah, yeah, come as a member of the team. So let's talk about some of the components, some of the elements of the worship and ways to approach those.
Yeah, so like, let's start with the worship time, since just chronologically, we typically do that, the singing time.
The singing, yeah.
We typically do that first. So what are some wrong ways, since you typically lead that portion of our services together on Sunday mornings, what are some wrong ways to view that? What are some wrong ways to view that? And then some right ways. Follow up with some right ways.
So first of all, let me give some exhortations to, like, how do we prepare for that when we come in? We know that we're going to be singing when we come together on the Lord's Day. That's a big part of what we do. It's an element of our worship. Scripture prescribes it.
Yes.
You just read that in Colossians there. So there's an aspect of the gathering of God's people that's always going to be there, and that's we're a singing people. Mm. Old Testament, New Testament, we see that. We have the advantage now these days to be a little bit more prepared than perhaps some Christians did in past years in terms of what the songs are going to be. We publish what those songs are going to be during the middle of the week.
Yeah, Wednesday. I think they're available on Wednesday.
Right. You can go either in the app or you can go on our website, and they're published on social media. There's a little section of our website that says This Sunday at Faith on Wednesday morning that is published. That has all of the songs we're going
to
be doing.
Are there links to those songs?
Yes. If you click on it, there's a link to a playlist that we've got set up that gives you just, it may not be exactly how we sing the song here at Faith, but it gives you a sense of the song. The words are going to be the same. The truth's going to be the same. So
would you recommend me reviewing that before I come to the church?
Absolutely. I would encourage everyone to go and find that link. It goes out in the Wednesday newsletter, This Sunday at Faith, with our song list. Review the songs. Know this. If there's a song you don't know, go listen to it, learn it. But rejoice in that truth so that when you come in, you're not necessarily thinking about it at that moment for the first time. Mm. You've thought about it already. So prepare yourself for that. We also come in not as spectators. Mm. We stress this so often here at Faith. This is part of our culture. It's part of our philosophy. We're not up there for show. We're not up there to put on a concert. We, the musicians, want to lead well. We want to not be distracting in any way. We want to sing the notes on pitch. We want to be in tune, you know, and we want to be musical and beautiful. But we're not there to put on a concert for you, because I say this all the time, everyone is on the worship team. And so I want really everyone to sing, and I've said this before, I love how I can mix into my inner monitors congregational singing. I can hear the congregation. Someone just commented to me, they've been coming here to Faith for about a year. It's like one of the things that blew us away when we came here is that this is a singing church.
Yes.
And we can hear people singing around us. The congregation really sings out. And so I just think that's marvelous.
I think it is too, brother. I think it's wonderful, and I think it's a gift to our church. Sometimes you'll do something. You'll say voices only.
Yeah.
At a different part of our song, and your instrumentalists all stop, and everybody sings. And man, it is so sweet to the soul to hear the people of God singing. And here's what I think, and I it's a strong statement, but I think it's right. I think if a church nails everything to perfection when it comes to leading of the worship, all the songs being extremely professional, all the tech, you know, professional, the singer's awesome, all of that, you know, instrumentalist, top note, top, you know, category, and the people weren't singing, it would be a failed time.
Absolutely.
It'd be a failed time.
100% agree. A couple of years ago, I actually had to go get voice therapy. I lost my voice, and the voice therapist that I was working with.
How do you do voice therapy? Like push-ups with your?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I won't go into all. It's like, yeah, you put weights on your vocal cords and you lift them, but you know, she went to a different church, and she was asking me about our church, and she's like, "Do people sing in your church?" Mm. And I said, yeah. I mean, like, I just, like, that's a no-brainer question for me. She's like, no one sings at our church. Mm. Just the band plays and everybody just kind of stands there. and I don't know the songs most of the time, and I, you know, none of us sing. And I said that, and I didn't say this, and well, I did. I said that's sad.
Yeah,
and it is. But my heart was just like aching at that thought.
We've covered this before, so you don't have to go real long with this. But a couple of things that you do so that, like, when you lead, to promote the people singing. I mean, I know you do things intentionally as a leader to do that. But just real briefly, because there's an episode on this.
So. There's a whole episode on this. I try to, I mean, just practical things like putting the songs in singable keys. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes it gets high, and, you know, those are poignant moments in which you want people to really sing out. So, you know, in Christ alone, the wrath of God was satisfied. I'm not going to sing it here in the room. But, you know, you're hitting a high note right there. Pick songs that are singable, that have clear melodies and stuff. And that means sometimes we do new songs and they require people to learn them and those kind of things like that. Trying to be clear with the cues and the transitions so that in between verses, people know when the next verse is coming in and things like that. We never aim for distractions. We try to sing on pitch. We try to be in tune. We try to be balanced. But again, what you said just a minute ago, if we do all of that perfectly and nobody sings, it's a fail. And so we don't aim for the lowest common denominator by any stretch of the imagination, but we try to be very clear. We try to pick songs that focus our hearts and mind, that kind of couch the sermon that's coming up in the truth of the gospel so that people's hearts are prepared for that. So all of those things go into the planning of the worship and being very intentional about tying the whole service together. And that's what we do. And so part of this, in light of our topic today, is come into the Lord's house prepared to sing.
Yes.
Prepare your hearts and minds in the songs. If you don't get around to looking at the songs ahead of time, you know, no worries. Be focused while we're singing and sing out. If you sing like a frog, sing out. Just let it go, you know. And you may not be called to sing up front with the musicians, but still sing.
Amen.
We're all called to sing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm living proof of that. I sing terribly, but I sing loudly because that's that time and that's what it's for, you know. And I'm just hoping that people are very forgiving that are right around me.
Can I share a personal story?
Sure.
My son Isaiah, you know, he's those of you who go here to Faith know him. He's got special needs. He cannot sing a pitch. The way he worships and sings is very different from what we consider singing. He can't necessarily follow every word of a song. What happens is when a song gets to the end of a phrase, there's usually like one word there. And he knows it's coming, and so he will scream that word, you know. So, we do the song "Sing to the King Who Is Coming to Reign," and he'll just bring reign and glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. And he'll do that at home too. He'll have his iPad watching our services, and he does that in church sometimes too, and it's glorious.
Sure. It's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know, here's this young man and is special in his needs and all of that, yet he praises God. He worships God. And would that we all had that passion in our hearts. Yeah. Sorry, I probably got off on a little bit of the sermon there.
That's good. Let me just make this real practical though, okay?
Yeah.
I said in a general way, I think it's a fail if a church does everything perfectly. But the people don't sing. Christian individual, I think it's somewhat of a fail if you refuse to sing. I think you're selling yourself short. That you're not participating in the experience. You're not there with us worshiping the one true God with your voice, like we're called to do, and why He gave you that voice. You know.
Yeah.
So just want to encourage you if you're listening to this and you're not much of a singer. Or you don't feel like you're in the mood that day or whatever, just do it. You know, just look at those words and the exaltation of Christ and let your vocal cords express the reality of how good God is by singing.
Yeah. I mean, we see the psalmist all the time, even in the midst of his sorrows. I will sing, I will praise, I will glorify, I will bless the Lord.
Yeah. Most of his laments have something like, I will yet again praise him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, You know, let's look at another part of the, of our gathered worship, another element. Pastor Mike, your area that you normally are involved in is the preaching of the word. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some wrong and right ways to listen to the sermon and to think about the sermon when we come into the people, sure. come into the gathering of the people?
Yeah, sure. So I'll keep using that analogy because, you know, I'm a one trick pony kind of guy, but a wrong way to approach the sermon is the way that a baby eats their food. That is, you know, they're in their high chair, and their mom is taking spoons mm-hmm. of the sauce, and they're putting it in the mouth, and then getting some more, and he's just eating it up. Okay, that's the wrong way. And here's what I mean. I think you should be at a place where you take your fork and you dig in as we go. And you're eating yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a responsibility for you, the listener. There's a way to listen to a sermon that's helpful for you, and there's a way that's less helpful. And then there's obviously a distracted way that won't bring you any benefit at all. So there's some prep work, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But I think when you're there in the moment, the thing that you ought to do is when you open your Bible, your mindset and your posture ought to be, now it's time to eat. Lord, what do you have for me? Help me to see these things. I mean, a lot of it has to do with your posture towards God. Like, open my eyes so that I might see. As these things are being preached, I pray that you would help me to see these things and that they would be food for my soul.
Get your knife and fork ready.
Get your knife and fork ready. Yeah, perfect. And
tuck your napkin.
And just go at it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't sit there and expect to be fed, like, without any effort. You know, don't put all the onus on the preacher, even though I think there's a great deal of responsibility on that man who's preaching. You know, he should have done his work to prepare a good meal and you know, serve it well. But don't put it all on him. Like, part of it is you.
You know?
I believe that you can listen to a mediocre sermon or even a bad sermon and grow in the Lord and leave edified, encouraged, strengthened, and that sermon could have been bland. It could have been there could have been so many things done better about that sermon. The preacher could have put more work or whatever, and you could still grow. And I think back to my earliest days preaching. I was preaching, and there's a famous preacher who was in the audience that day. I was preaching in a church in Florida, and I noticed him taking notes. He was an older believer, and I went up to him afterwards and I said, "Why would you take notes at my sermon? I'm 23 years old. Why would you do that?" You know, and he says, "Brother, I can learn from anyone, and I can learn from the Word." You know, and that's how we ought to come to the table, like he did. Like, he was a much better expositor than I was, and you know, I'm sure he saw so many more things than I brought out that Sunday.
Yeah,
but you know, he came with his knife and his fork out and his napkin tucked in, and he was ready to eat. That's how we should come.
Yeah.
So wrong ways, consumeristically, it's not a movie. It's not a winsome TED talk. You're not just there to hear a guy give a stand-up. You know, like, this is the time to eat, and his job is to put it out there, to serve the table, to put it all the, you know, and then our job is to eat and eat well.
You gotta chew.
Yeah.
You gotta chew. Yeah. And you're so right there. I mean, obviously we would want a sermon to be sound and biblically based, but you know, even if it's not the most dynamic speaker, even if he's not the most charismatic, you know, winsome compelling person, we can still grow from the Word.
Right.
There is still a feast to be partaken
Amen.
Of there
Amen.
In every context. Yeah.
Yeah.
So preparing for coming in and listening to the Word
on the Lord's Day. You know, again, we publish our sermons before. I mean, we publish the text that we're going to be preaching on before. It's, I think it's in your bulletin the week before. Mm-hmm. So I think that part of the thing is there, and even some questions related to that for the faith groups to mull over. So I think the very best way is, and I got this from the Puritans, is on Saturday night, you know, when everything is said and done, and you're, I think, having an evening devotion, reading that text over, praying that God would prepare your hearts for the Lord's Day. You can do this as a family. Do this by yourself. Pray that the Lord would prepare your heart for the Lord's Day. Read the text.
Yeah.
Think about it a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying you have to dive in with commentaries and do all the work that I've done that week, you know, but read it and come just hungry, you know?
Yes.
Like, I want to eat now. And
That's kind of like, to continue with the food analogy, that's kind of like the appetizer on Saturday night. You know, whet your appetite with the word of what is going to be preached, whatever that section of scripture is, and get ready. Yes. Get ready to feast.
And another wrong way, and not to go too long on this, but don't fold your arms and think, impress me. Don't be critical. Like, don't sit there thinking, I want you to be very funny today. I want you to do this. I want, all of those are distracting wrong ways. You know, don't be sitting there parsing everything and trying to find fault. Mm-hmm. All of those things will distract you and keep you from eating. And I'm not saying now, if the preacher says something that's not right, you know, that then we need discernment in those moments, you know, and that's good and that's helpful. But we can come with a posture of like a critical posture, like, a haughtiness that will keep our ears shut to the goodness of God's word, you know. And how I don't want to go on a Sunday. I'm not preaching this Sunday. Pastor Dana Olson is preaching. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to come ready to eat, you know. And I'm sure that brother is gonna. He's. I know already. We've talked. We had coffee yesterday. He's prepared the meal and he's ready to set it out on the table and we're gonna feast together in the house of the Lord.
Yeah. Can I go off on a tangent just briefly here? Because one of the things, and I don't say this in any kind of sharp rebuke kind of way, one of the dangers, one of the pitfalls out there of the world in which we live and being able to pull up sermons by anyone at any time. Mm. And I think there's great benefit to that.
Yes, yeah, there is.
But at the same time, we've got so many wonderful, gifted preachers out there that we can, you know, listen to and take advantage of, that it can sometimes sow a seed of discontentment in a church member, because it's like, I wish my pastor would preach more like Mark Dever or John Piper or Ligon Duncan, or I wish my pastor had the charisma of an Al Mohler or something like that. Sure. And we forget that.
Wait, is Al Mohler charismatic?
No. No, not in the theological sense. No. But you know, so we can begin to feel like, oh, you know, I'm not getting fed because my pastor is not like well-known pastor so-and-so. And
I want to say so much more about that.
But part of the beauty of the local church gathering is that is the shepherd, or in some cases, one of the shepherds that God has given you, who knows your soul, who loves you, who's responsible before the Lord for you, and he is faithfully laboring in the word. And so you still have to eat. You still have to feast upon that and to love that and not fall into a pattern of comparing your local pastor with a well-known celebrity author pastor.
Yeah, there's a handful of people. There's a handful of pastors whom the Lord has especially gifted, you know, and they have gifts that are off the charts sometimes, you know, and God has a purpose for that, a good purpose in his sovereignty. And some of these guys have outsized ministries because the Lord is using them in great ways. I don't compare. And if you're here's what I think you should do. If your pastor is biblically faithful, if he is unpacking the text before you and he's putting it up there for you, even if it's less than dynamic, even if it's less than, you know, whatever guy that you like to listen to, rejoice in the Lord, for you have a shepherd who is faithful.
Amen.
I got two today.
You got two applauses today. I'm not going to applaud myself. That seems a little self-serving.
And I can't reach it. And I don't even know how. I'd probably turn the whole thing off.
You know, well, as we want to kind of bring this to a close here without going too much longer. But there are two more aspects of this that I think are important to mention. And one is the fellowship that we have when we come together, preparing for that, approaching that. Yes. Also, the giving and the serving that we do during our corporate worship. Let's take each one of these. How can we most beneficially approach our fellowship time when we come into church? And I'm not talking about the 2 minutes where we shake each other's hands, but the whole thing, the whole of fellowship when we gather on the Lord's Day.
I feel like I've done a lot of talking on the preaching. Do you want to tackle that?
Well, I mean, when we come together and we realize that people are coming with different personality types, they're coming with different burdens from the week. Sometimes people enter those doors on a Sunday morning with heavy, heavy burdens on their hearts.
Yes.
Others might be feeling on top of the world. And so we want to be mindful of that, yes, that we're all coming into those doors from different places. Yet we are coming together as the people of God, as the family of God, and we're there to serve and to love, yes, one another.
That's right.
And so, you know, if you're coming in and you're not like, I just don't feel like being around a lot of people this morning, I encourage you, though, still to seek out the brother and sister in Christ in whom you can confide and share those burdens and say, hey, you know what? Can you just, I can't really talk about it a lot right now. Maybe you can just pray with me. Mm-hmm. It's been a hard week. Can you pray with me, brother or sister? And then to be sensitive also if the Lord's, you know, laying people on your heart to go pray with and to talk with and to spend time with. We have such a beautiful dynamic of the body of Christ coming together on Sunday mornings. We have wonderful opportunities to show love and compassion towards one another. Amen. We need to take advantage of those.
Yeah, so like, again, we're just beating one illustration to death, but it's helpful. You don't go to the table with your family and it's just you and the food.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what that's about. You know, you don't just, you know, the Russians, there's a Russian saying that when I eat, I'm deaf. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm deaf
yeah.
and dumb when I eat. And what they mean is they're eating, you know, and they're eating fast. And there's some history there and probably some socioeconomic issues that bring that about. I caught that right away because I'd eat with these college students and everyone's just eating. No one's talking. I thought, what are you guys doing? You're not talking, you know? Mm-hmm. We eat together around the table because part of that is like so that you can talk,
yeah,
so that you can fellowship, and it's as much about that food as it is about everybody around you, you know, like, and so we should come like that. Like, this is the time to encourage. Everybody has to go back out in the week, and that week is going to be hard, full of difficulties and discouragements. We are preparing one another to go back out in the strength of the Lord with the focus on Jesus. And so, I think we should come with a posture of, I want to be helped by others and I want to help others. I want to encourage and I want to be encouraged. I want to soak up the encouragement that comes from the body of Christ and I want to encourage the body of Christ.
Yes.
I'm there on mission in a sense. I want to be fed and I want to feed.
Something that I would encourage, and I say this not as a law, but a very simple way to do that, is when you come into the fellowship of God's people on a Sunday morning, believer, look for one, at least one opportunity to just pray with somebody.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, if you know, and I'll be the first to admit that hasn't happened every single Sunday with me, even as a pastor of this church, and I've felt like, you know what, I should have prayed with that person. But look for an opportunity when someone's talking to you and they're sharing about, yeah, I'm trying to get this, make this decision about a job or this, that, or the other, or this has been going on, or so-and-so is in the hospital. Say, let me just pray with you right now. Put your hand on their shoulder if they're open to that, and just, you know, take a moment and just pray for that need. Mm. And such an encouragement. I just know it'll be an encouragement to that brother or sister in Christ. And especially if you get to experience that too. I've had people that do that with me. And how wonderful that is.
That is so good. So just note this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another.
Yeah.
You know, there is that one another that is happening mainly at that gathering. I mean, that's, in a big way in that gathering, you know, where we're together to be. So yeah, the fellowship is vital. It's part of the gathering. It's so important. We're there together to encourage and lift one another up.
And this is another quote from Michael Lawrence, a takeaway from him. You know, he said, when you're in the corporate gathering of God's people, it's not just you having your quiet time with 300 other people in the room.
Exactly.
You know, we're there, that one another aspect of that is so important.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Good word.
And then, you know, finally, last but not least here, but our giving, our serving, all of that that's involved on a Sunday morning, what does that look like?
Yeah,
how do we approach that?
I mean, there's a couple of ways we use the word give, right? Do we go to church to give or to receive? I think we've hit on that. We go for both. Like, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, we go to give, we go to serve. You know, you don't want to ever chide a congregation for coming to receive. You know, like, I have never said, all you guys want to do is sit there and eat. And, you know, like,
yeah.
Why aren't you thinking about other people? Why don't you serve? You know, people come to eat, and that's good. You know, so we come to receive, but we come to give too. And I just think that the answer to the question, do we come to give or to receive? The answer should be yes.
Yes.
We come to give and we come to receive. Mm-hmm. We come to be filled and we come to help other people be filled, you know, in the Lord. And yeah, our giving, you know, like our generosity, that's a great opportunity during the week to express our generosity to help the poor, to help the mission of the church, to help missionaries and all of the different things to keep the church going. So those parts of giving too.
Just some very practical advice and pastoral advice to those listening. If you're not involved in some way in serving on a regular, semi-regular basis in our church, get involved. Yes. Get involved. There are so many needs, that so many aspects of our gathered worship that we rely upon volunteers for, and everybody's going to be in a different place doing different things. But I know that, you know, helpers in the nursery, helpers with children's ministry, teaching Sunday school, being part of the music team, the tech team, the hospitality team, welcoming people in, all of those things are just so important.
And great ways to help.
And they contribute. It's the body working together for the ministry of the gospel to the glory of God.
Amen.
And all of that, all that together right there. Well said. Yeah. Well, this has been great, Pastor Mike. Anything else we want to add? We've talked a little bit about, you know, prepping on Saturday night, prepping during the week. Anything else we want to add to this discussion?
I would love it. This is just a little thing, and take it or leave it. It's last, but I don't mean
I'll take it
to have so much emphasis, but let's crowd the front, not the back. You know, let's be so eager to hear the word preached and to sing and to worship that it's hard to find seats up front. You know, like let's change that dynamic, that cliche of back row Baptist. Let's be the ones who change that, because we so love the gathering. Let's crowd the front and make it easy to find seats in the back, you know, accommodating to our visitors or whatever, but hard to find seats up front. You know, take it or leave it, but that's my encouragement. I mean, it's part of that whole thing. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be. The further away you are, the harder that is, perhaps. I don't know. You know, it's just a little thing, but little encouragement.
Yeah. Become front row Baptists.
Let's be front row
Baptists. Very good. Well, that's been great. Good discussion today. If you have any questions, you can always submit them here to the Sound and Faith podcast, faithsf.com/soundandfaith. It's also available through the Faith Baptist Fellowship app, FBF Connect. We do have one question today. We want to answer this question. It comes to us anonymously. How are we to deal with friends and family in the LGBT community, especially if they're wanting to know the Lord? How would they be welcomed at Faith? I think that's a great question.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I don't think we deal with them differently than we deal with any sinner. You know,
like
we want that sinner to come to Christ. We want that sinner to feel the forgiveness of the Lord that comes through Jesus and his work on the cross. We want that sinner to be led towards repentance and faith in Jesus.
Yes.
You know, I just used the word sinner five times, you know, but that's not a specific sinner to somebody who's caught up in those kind of sins.
Yeah.
We want a sinner to come to Christ.
Exactly.
You know, and any sinner, we want them to come to Christ. So they would be welcomed in the same way I would want any sinner to feel welcomed. And that, you know, but it's not one of these things where we're welcoming of the sin. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not loving. You know, we want to be a loving body of Christ. So we're not welcoming to the sin, but we are absolutely welcoming to that person. We want to love our neighbor, and we want them to see the gospel, repent of their sin, place faith in Christ, forsake the harmful behaviors that have waylaid them and made them miserable, because that's what those behaviors do, you know, and turn to Christ and trust in him.
I would say, you know, There's a trend within more progressive denominations, liberal denominations out there, welcoming and affirming, meaning we welcome you into our fellowship and we affirm what you're doing.
Right.
And I would say, I would put us in this category, I use this expression, welcoming but faithful. We would, of course, welcome any sinner to come into our gathering on a Sunday morning and hear the wonderful words of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the gospel calls us all to repentance and faith in Jesus. Yeah. The gospel tells us that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're going to perish, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, has made that atonement upon Jesus Christ. All who come to him in faith believing will not perish, but have everlasting life.
So our call to them would be the same as our call to anyone.
Yeah.
Come, you who are thirsty, you who are hungry, come and drink and eat without price.
Our call would be the same to them as it would be to someone who is a nice person but is living in bitterness and anger towards their neighbor.
Or self-reliance.
Or self-reliance, or struggling with some kind of other immoral sin. You know, all of those things, it would be the same call. Repent and believe.
Amen.
And find everlasting life in Jesus Christ.
Love that answer.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor Mike. It's been a good discussion today. Enjoyed this a lot. This has been, I always love talking about the church.
I think we just love the church.
We love the church. Yes, we do. Hey, you can check us out on YouTube. We've got the link to that in this podcast notes right here. Check us out at faithsf.com/soundinfaith.
Most people point to something when they say that.
I know. I don't know.
Click on this link right here.
Right there. the Faith SF. faithsf.com/store for podcast and church merch.
Great gifts.
And we are also on Instagram. Hey, we're up to like 39 followers on Instagram.
We are tearing it up. Slay.
At Sound in Faith Podcast.
Awesome.
It's been a great discussion today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And Lord willing, we will see you Sunday.